Hello, friends. This is program number 67 in our Egoic Lotus webinar commentaries book. And we're kind of winding up our work at this point. We're going to look at practical approaches in the use of energies to accomplish consciously what one can in relation to the tasks which relate to the development of a petal. Now, this kind of conscious work is only going to be undertaken by someone, well, I suppose, who knows something about occultism. So maybe very many qualified people will not undertake it because they do not know the language of spiritual occultism. All right. But nevertheless, we cannot begin with the earliest petals because those indicate periods in the development of the human being which are relatively primitive. We cannot undertake the kind of development that would be followed in the lunar petals. It's pretty well unconscious anyway, and it's not even under the supervision of the solar angel, but of the second logos, basically, and other higher factors that a human being cannot be aware of at that time. So nothing in petal 1 through 4. And it's not even about the first part of petal 5 or the tasks related to the first part of petal 5 that I will concentrate upon. Rather, it's that part of petal 5 which relates to the stage of aspiration. The man has been a creative thinker in petal 5, maybe quite selfish, you know, and quite centered upon himself, but at a certain point, all of those types of pursuits fail. And he realizes the limitation of egoism and egotism. Egotism is based upon egoism. Egoism is the focus upon the lower self as if it were real and to be preserved and enhanced at any cost. And egotism is the further development of that philosophical attitude where one begins to love excessively the lower self and to advance it at all costs. So we will begin with work related to petal 5, and we'll go on through 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. I've already done enough work in petals 10, 11, and 12 to give you the main idea. excuse me. And since none of us is courting the fourth degree and moving rapidly through that phase following the third initiation towards the fourth degree, it's not so immediately relevant, but from the stage, the latter part of petal 5, where one is organizing and vitalizing, coordinating, vitalizing the petal 5 through the acts that one accomplishes in the world and the thoughts one thinks and the quality of one's interactions, we will begin there. And I have extracted, you know, there are those two places, one in the early 500s, around 542 or 544 in there of cosmic fire, and also around 822, 823, 824 of cosmic fire. I haven't listed all of the exact sources here, but you know where they are because we've referred to them so many times. And so we'll begin with this Leo petal, which is also a Scorpio petal. Leo and Scorpio, I think, carry the main meaning of this petal, and it also has a quality of Sagittarius to it, but let's just say Leo and Scorpio, and this is the petal of love for the astral plane. Unfoldment is brought about through the process of gradually transmuting the love of the subjective nature or of the self within, because when that love is ignorantly directed into the outer worlds in an extroverted manner, one is still well within the realms of glamour and illusion. This has a dual effect and works out through, works through onto the physical plane in many lives of turmoil, of endeavor, and of failure as man tries to, strives to turn his attention to the love of the real. Well, you know, one thinks about the wretched aspirant, always trying, always failing, trying again, and maybe eventually succeeding a bit more. And the way it's described elsewhere, higher intelligent love on the physical and astral planes, and presumably that's when there is some success. The earlier description here pretty well describes the process, and this is finally achieved, the love of the higher self on the third and second levels of the higher mental plane is working through as love expressed, and it is intelligent soul love to a degree on the physical and astral planes. And remember that when the fifth petal is completely unfolded, then we have the first initiation taking place. At least that's certainly how, in the main references that I've gathered, it seems to be the case. So in this case, we'll say, now suppose we, in our ray chart, have a very strong ray one. I'm not going to talk about whether it's soul or personality ray, but let's just say a very strong ray one and any of the other rays, or a very strong astrological representation, sun, the sun sign, the rising sign, let us say, or maybe sometimes the moon sign or stellium, and planets prominent, maybe as the ruler of the sun, ruler of the ascendant, whether ordinary or esoteric ruler. What can you do with these energies? The idea is that we can consciously use energies at will. This is the idea. And I'm just going to say, okay, let's see. I don't want that extra, you know. So we'll do it this way. And that's gone, and hopefully this is gone too. Okay. If we can consciously I always have to make sure that my word substitution program is on and it's set for UK English. As if we can consciously use energies at will. So these are just meant to be some seed thoughts. If we are prominently with Ray 1, we're turning into the aspirant and we are fighting the good fight with strong will. And so what can we do? Let's just say this is Ray 1, and nope. Sorry, I'm just trying to get this in order here. We consciously place our will. Okay. I seem to be running into a few obstacles here. So we consciously place our will on the side of the higher self, on the side of that higher of the pairs of opposites towards which we are striving. We will towards the real. And we cut ourselves off from that which increasingly we realize as unreal. So this is a, you know, you think about Leo, it's got a lot of Ray 1. Think about Scorpio, it's the sign of Hercules, it's got a lot of Ray 1. So Ray 1 is at home here in this petal, or needed, or can be usefully expressed in this fifth petal. And the struggle is there, and we put up a good fight for the real. Let's put it like that. We put up a good fight for the real. Now, I'm only giving, you know, just a few seed thoughts. If you have Ray 1 and you want to become an aspirant, you are an aspirant, you need steadiness, steady pursuit of the real, and not just an intermittent, occasional emphasis upon the higher of the pairs of opposites. So we use our personality will to come more steadily in touch, to come more steadily in touch with the higher of the pairs of opposites. That's our soul nature. When Ray 2 is strongly emphasized here, to say we become ever more conscious of the solar angel, which at this point becomes the downward gazing soul and takes the evolution of the man consciously in hand, which has not been the case before. So now this is a strongly solar angelic petal, and Ray 2 has this ability. Ray 2 can tune in with the nature of the soul, because the soul represents the second aspect of divinity. So receptivity to wisdom is increasing, and one begins to be familiar with higher impulses and streams of energy, and steadily, because there's a lot of steady persistence in Ray 2, moves forward towards cultivating that receptivity. You know, these are a little bit off the top of my head here, but I'm thinking, you know, the Ray 2 aspirant, obviously an aspirant has lots of Ray 6 going, because aspiration is coming under Ray 6. At the same time, you know, this is a petal in which consciousness is changing. And Ray 2 is strongly connected with consciousness. And, you know, I don't know whether we can have a Ray 2 personality at this time, but we're really on the path. We're starting to be on the path, and therefore I think maybe we can have that Ray 2 personality. We also have to remember here that Leo is that one of the fire signs that is most connected with consciousness in the second ray. It has a Ray 1 and Ray 5 passing through it, but when you compare it to the fire signs, it has most to do with enlarging the light of the soul. And so this is just a striving forward to be ever more sensitive to those impulses coming from the higher pairs of opposites. The sensitivity of Ray 2 is cultivated, and one becomes ever more sensitive to those streams of energy from the higher of the pairs of opposites. Okay, so it's Leo and Scorpio, and the second ray really wants to remove itself increasingly from preoccupation with the unreal. There's a tendency to abstract and to withdraw from the unreal and to identify ever more closely with this source, whatever it is, you know, maybe later it will become to be identified as the soul, this source which is magnetically drawing the Ray 2 type forward into the higher worlds and becomes increasingly disinterested. So what do? Well, you know, you really meditate. You focus in consciousness on this higher source. Of course, I could say meditation continues onward as a Ray 2 attitude all the way through into the higher worlds, because progress is made by the Ray 2 type through meditation, through study, you know, so we study at this point, the higher of the pairs of opposites, and we seek to absorb it into our daily life and function ever more that way. It will be inconsistent, yes. It will be inconsistent at first because we are, after all, only aspirants, and we're really relatively new to this as we're cultivating the fifth petal, and we're shining our light intermittently in service. Now, sometimes that light has given us personality preference. It has given us some degree of notoriety or noticement from others, and we built up a reputation and all that, but that's not what we're interested in here. We're interested in a degree of sharing what we are according to the will of the soul. We don't succeed here, but we're interested in that. Well, with, you know, we have to remember with Ray 3, the soul is on the higher mental plane. And Ray 3 correlating with the abstract mind has a strong relationship to this higher type of intelligence. So if you're a Ray 3 type, and communication is important here. This is a ray of communication, and DK says that we render vocal under the third ray our higher thoughts and ideas. So we have new inspiration. I'm not going to write down everything, you see. I'm going to, you know, if I try to write down everything, not only will the ideas not flow for me, but it will take a whole lot, you know, longer. So we have new inspiration from the soul, and we attempt to communicate it and give voice to it and speak about the reason why we should pursue a higher ideal, which is no longer selfish. You know, with the, well, all rays can contribute to selfishness, but when it comes to the third ray, one has to be particularly careful, because it is related to the personality, particularly. So we're rising in mind above the personality. Let's put it like that. Sun is shining quite strong through the window here, so I know I'm looking extremely glaring white here. We rise above the personality in our higher mind and begin cultivating the higher perspective. Very inconsistently, of course. P-E-R perspective. Inconsistently. I have to say inconsistently because, you know, the life of an aspirant who's been struggling tremendously is not a steady, mentally willed approach to the higher sources. Not yet. Well, this is a ray of struggle. Many lives of struggle and turmoil. So, many lives. struggle, turmoil, and friction, of course, as the new soul impulses grate against the ahamkara, the personality tendencies, the isolation of personality. Scorpio, think about it, you know, it's a major Ray 4 sign, and it is the astrological, one of the major astrological influences in this petal. And we're trying to see what is the real, and we're really torn between these things. But let's just say, what do you do when you have this strong fourth ray? Well, you fight the good fight, and so you must fight the good fight for the sake of the real, and seek at least to harmonize the new soul tendencies with the older personality attractions, so that at least the personality does not win and the soul becomes ever stronger. Also, to conceive of and remind oneself of the beauty of the new impulses. From the life of the soul. So, you know, the condition is very uncertain for a long time, but eventually we learn how to, we gradually learn how to preserve the best values of the soul, of the personality, while bringing in ever more strongly the new values of the soul. And we try to harmonize these. There's this whole idea of the dispelling of illusion. Well, it's not really that active yet at this point, but the Ray 4, the Ray of the Intuition, will be useful there. Ray 5, it's a strong Leo Ray, and that is very strong here. The Leo energy is strong, and let's just say we turn the mind away from strictly concrete things, and we do study and observe the higher source, which is now attracting us. Ray, think about the solar angel here. Well, actually, even the solar angels involved with Ray 4 and the law of magnetic control, and the solar angel is a Ray 5, Ray 2 being. So we really, should work upon intensifying the light of the soul. Work upon intensifying the light of the soul. That's the law of the soul. There we go. Intensifying the light of the soul in our consciousness. And we realize that the source of these higher impulses, which make of us an aspirant, source of the higher impulses, can be observed, studied, its laws known. It's just not just a mystical approach. Of course, mysticism can enter here, and it all depends on the energies with which you are equipped. Mysticism can enter, and it can be prominent even in the next several petals. So much depends just on Yeah, on the particular energies with which you are endowed. Now, let's see here. Oh, okay, Ray 6. Well, this is clear. So let's just say do aspire. This is what we're becoming here. Do aspire. Do turn your attention towards higher ideals. The higher ideals embodied by the higher of the pairs of opposites, of which you are becoming very much aware. So, you know, some may call it God, some may call it a higher power. Some few trained in occultism will call it the soul. You know, often people talk also about a higher self. So let's just say the advice here is to give yourself to the higher impulse and to desire that and not the customary desires. You know, we are known by our desires, and Ray 6 is connected with the emotional plane, the astral plane, from which our desires come. So we should become one-pointedly focused. Sagittarius will help. Become more one-pointedly focused on the stream of energy coming from the soul. Now, of course, all of us, you know, are a combination of rays and so forth, but this is giving just some directives. We do study, and I want to just add with Ray 5, really focus on the higher source and bring its light down, however intermittent this may be for us. And naturally, we continue doing that. Ray 5 is the ray of initiation. It's let's just say, clarify the presence of the solar angel in our nature. And bring its light through as a beam, as much as possible. All right, now when it comes to Ray 7, this is all about, our concentration is upon make the soul impulses manifest. Not just enough to think about them, but to do things in the world which are a direct result of receiving the streams of energy coming from the downward gazing soul. So let's just say, when if we begin to understand what is the real, we begin to understand what is the real, then take pains to manifest that real, that reality. So this is the call for practical action. Practical action is needed. So that one can really begin to live the new life towards which the reversal of the wheel is tending. Because we are, in a sense, reversing the wheel here for the first time. There are other reversals that are more final, perhaps, but this is a strong going against the grain. And then, you know, different things occur to me. With Ray 1, you know, we want to say, really sustain the will to keep moving counterclockwise against the natural clockwise direction of the wheel. Will to remain on the wheel of consciousness rather than fall back into the wheel of form. The wheel of form. Well, you know, you can add to this, but you get the idea here. It just depends on where you find yourself to be, as realistically as possible, and the rays that you are particularly endowed with in your ray chart, in your ray formula. Basically, you know, this is that unsteady stage of aspiration with a lot of wretchedness going along with it. The wretchedness comes from the conflict, which has to be harmonized through ever greater soul vision through the first ray and the will to apply. And all the rays are very useful. It's just, what are you going to use and how are you going to use it? And will you design a program for yourself whereby you say, I am consciously doing this and work this program through in your life? That is the question. Okay, so let's look at the astrological signs and remind ourselves of what this pedal is all about. Many lives of turmoil, of endeavor, and of failure, learning the uses of failure, I suppose, as a man strives to turn his attention to the love of the real, as opposed to the love of the ordinary, the unreal, the glamorous, the illusory, and so forth, trying to get clear so that we are no longer attracted to the very things which the four noble truths tell us will cause great pain in the long run. Okay, so love is being transmuted into a higher type of love, and it's an intelligent love. And I would just say with Aries, you know, let's just say, plunge in and fight the good fight. Let's just say, do not hesitate to fight for the dominance of the higher of the pairs of opposites. Initiate a new orientation. And in fact, the crisis of orientation is related to Aries and a lot to this particular petal. And let's just say, work on dissolving the jungle of illusion. I'll capitalize that. In flames. I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule. So begin to use the Mercury here. And just in general, throw yourself into the new way. Into the new way, new direction, new set of values, and use the Aretian will to emphasize them. It may be a little bit irregular or not so smooth. It may be a little tumultuous, turmoil. But you are beginning something new and believing, having faith that you can do this new, start this new regime of responding more to the higher pairs of opposites than to the lower one. Basically, turn your face from one to the other, reorient, redirect, and throw lots of energy into bringing through and down and through the impulses that you touch or that touch you from this higher power. If you have a strong Taurus in your chart, it's all about the light. So, let's see, focus on the light of the higher source, the light of the soul. Basically, we would call it the light of the soul, and increase the light in your life by drawing down this higher light. And more will be illumined in your life as you do this. You're not, at this point, we're not ever going to be a really illumined being. We're just, but see, the highest form of, how does it say, idealism, spiritual idealism, highest form, let's see if I can find that, Taurus, highest, it'd be right here, the aspirational idealism in its highest possible expression is also achieved in Taurus. Aspirational idealism. So this is for the aspirant who is emerging from this struggle. So cultivate aspirational idealism with confidence. And value the higher light rather than the lower attractions, to which Taurus, of course, can give way. When it comes to Gemini, well, there are two cells. So really realize there are two cells. And set up a constructive dialogue between the two selves. And bring communication between the two into the consciousness. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. Well, the first thing is, you know, to really, really listen to the voice of the soul. Really listen to the voice of the soul. And communicate it to others. After being sure you hear it. So, you know, with Gemini, there's so much instability at first, but now the stable rapport and dialogue between the two can at least be attempted. Of course, there is instability in these earlier phases of aspiration. The person is only now becoming the aspirant. But there is the knowledge that this higher source does exist. It does speak. One can communicate with it and one can receive communication, and we enter into oscillatory rapport with the higher self. So enter into oscillatory rapport with the higher self. There's so much more there, of course. You know, it's all about hearing the... It's hearing the voice of the Christ consciousness. And instead of, you know, wasting so much time in the ordinary type of chatter, it is really communing with a reliable source. Now, nothing is reliable in the life of the aspirant. It's all unstable, and then from yet a higher point of view, instability does its work, because there's much instability in the life of the aspirant. They are approaching and receding points of light instead of steadily approaching point of light. With more fifth ray, that can be done. So if you have a lot of Gemini, then, you know, let's really, instead of talking so much and communicating so much on the horizontal level and just in the world of lower mind, let's touch the higher mind and begin communicating with that level and really listening carefully and modify one's speech accordingly. I'm only saying a little bit here. You know, obviously a lot of meditation could go on any one of these areas. Well, let's, if you are, let's just say an aspirant, you cannot yet fully build the lighted house of the soul, but you can build the lighted house of the personality by following the careful, nurturing directives of the soul. So bring into your personality house more and more light of the soul. I build a lighted house and therein dwell and work towards the integration of these two energy systems. Because that's what integration really is. The soul is approaching in the consciousness, and it's quite different in its tendencies from the integrated personality. So we're working on a higher type of integration. With this higher type of integration, the personality will naturally become more lighted. And of course, gradually, the causal body itself will become more magnificent. But we're only, you know, sort of halfway through the unfoldment of the egoic lotus here. We're still in the phase where there's much struggle to transmute to the love of the real. Leo relates to solar angels and to the light of the soul. Relates to the light of the soul. That is the type of light which it confers. And also to the heart of the sun, which becomes more focally active here, though not as active as in petal 8, where the second initiation is taken. So I would just say this: learn to shine with soul light and recognize RCC, yeah, recognize the different quality of the love of the soul, different from the kinds of love in which the personality has engaged. So in a way, we're really seeing the higher of the pairs of opposites shine with a great light. So recognize the soul as the soul luminary in the microcosmic sky. Now, you can't do that entirely yet, but recognize it as a blazing sun, giving both light and love, and be determined, even though it's intermittent, be determined to express soul light and soul love. To express soul light and soul love. In other words, and have confidence in the higher of the pairs of opposites. There is a great light shining, this higher power, this higher self, is blazing in the microcosmic heaven. And we aspire to be in closer relationship to it, and not just to live as a personality, a lunar being. We've already passed that stage where the lower self has fallen. So we are interested in establishing a new sense of self. Okay, so begin to establish a new sense of self. And there's a big change that goes on there as we strive to transmute the love of the soul into a higher type of love, and changing from an extroverted soul to an introverted soul, at least a soul that takes into consideration the inner realities. And the love of the, let's just say, Leo in this sense represents the real, the higher quality of self. Now, Virgo, it's all about the birth of the Christ, so recognize that it is the Christ force which is seeking entry, and spare no pains to make way for it. Turn from matter to soul and take pains. I always say that about Virgo, you know. Take pains to cultivate the presence of soul. I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter am. You know, we recognize that there are three parts to our nature, especially two of those parts. The child is coming to birth. So realize here that, okay, that through aspiration, you are bringing a new self to birth in your personality. So indeed, you are the mother of the type of consciousness that is arising within your personality, and let no little things which could help this birthing remain undone. The service of the immediately present. Well, with Libra, you know, it's pretty clear in a way, and I would just say they say, make a choice for the higher self and give it the value it deserves in comparison with the familiar lower self. There's going to be a marriage in the heavens. It's not occurring yet. But through Libra and Aries, there is a reversal. So reverse the wheel. Oh, come on. Consciously. And give higher value to the higher of the pairs of opposites. Let choice be made, or I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force. Well, it's like choosing the soul. It is the way that leads between, one way of looking at it, the two great lines of force between spirit and matter. This is the crisis of choice. So let's just say, like Ray 4 in a way, consciously balance competing demands of personality and soul, so that personality expresses soul qualities. Okay, well, now this is the Scorpio petal. And again, we could say, as we said with Aries, fight the good fight and dispel, Maya and deception. Let Maya flourish and deception rule. That's what we say of Scorpio in the initial early days. We have not yet reached the point of initiation, but there must be a mini triumph here as the wheel is reversed. And Scorpio, like Libra, contributes to the reversal of the wheel. Actually, with Aries, too, it's kind of interesting. All of them, you know, when you think about going in another direction, you always think of Uranus because it is the alternative way to go. And the hierarchical ruler in Aries is Uranus. The esoteric ruler in Libra is Uranus, the exalted planet in Scorpio is Uranus. So this is really to engage in this struggle for the real. Very much so. Engage in the struggle for the real so that you can say, lead me from darkness to light, lead me from the unreal to the real. Particularly here, give weight to this mantra. Lead me from the unreal to the real. Scorpio will be involved in all of this, you know, from the time of the first initiation on to the third, and even in another sense at the fourth, I would think, where the death process comes and one is no longer a human being per se, but begins to be a full member of the kingdom of the soul. So if you're a Scorpio person, you know it's tremendously important to win on behalf of the solar angel and all it is trying to do. Win on behalf of solar angel and all it attempts to do. So go for victory of the higher source which is pulling you forward or towards it. You know, Scorpio, it's always a life and death struggle, but this is about the life of consciousness or the death of consciousness. And Scorpio will give some of that tenacity one needs when one is simply an aspirant. You know, with Libra, we could say, you know, keep things in proportion. And I will say that. We don't want the fanaticism there. But keep things in proportion. Avoid fanaticism. Well, we can find the fanaticism sometimes in Scorpio, where you throw your entire self into the battle. But if the wheel is reversed, there will be a victory here. And so you have to fight for the dominance of the higher self. So, fight to the death for the dominance of the higher self. And, you know, there's so much inconsistency in the stage of aspiration that maybe it will be possible when we add the tenacity of Scorpio. Sagittarius is another one of these signs which shows up at this pedal when, especially when we, begin with Pisces and go backwards, I think. Is that how it goes? So the first pedal is Pisces, second Aquarius, third Capricorn. Uh-huh. Fourth Sagittarius. Okay, let's see how we go. We begin with Aries and go backwards. Aries, Pisces, Aquarius. So that brings us to the third petal is Aquarius. Capricorn. Aries, Pisces, Aquarius. Capricorn and Sagittarius. That's the fifth petal. So Sagittarius comes in there when we start with Aries and move clockwise. But let's just say, what do we want to say here is see the new vision and follow it. So there is a higher ideal here, a higher type of vision. There is a new road. See it clearly and do not relent in your following of the new, of the higher source, which has been envisioned. So, you know, Gemini is a little bit intermittent, and one has to be careful there about the alternation between the pairs of opposites, but not Sagittarius. Sagittarius, once it sets its sights on the higher ideal, will follow that ideal through to the end. So if you're a Sagittarius person and you find yourself here, you really are taking a new path. The path of aspiration. You're elevating yourself. Sagittarius, stimulate your aspiration using Sagittarius. And strive fierily for the higher ideal. It's a major six-ray sign, of course. And so the quality of the aspirant will be strongly stimulated here. Well, if you're a Capricorn, the higher source is the better source. You are climbing. But not for yourself. In any selfish sense. Of course, we do have to avoid spiritual ambition and spiritual selfishness along the way. But sure-footedly, seek to anchor your life in relation to the higher self, which now you sense. So we don't really here follow the idea of let ambition rule and the door stand wide. It's not so much that, but let the higher source, the higher self, is real, and you know it. So do everything practical to be in real touch with it and to manifest its directives and steady your approach. Because, you know, Capricorn is one of those nitty-gritty signs that is connected with finishing something. Not just beginning it and letting off, but sure-footedly pursuing the objective until one reaches it, which is equivalent to reaching the summit of the mountain. So stabilize your aspiration is really what it boils down to. And rise into greater light. Now we can't yet say at this point, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back, because that is the third, really a third initiation mantra, the encountering of the supernal light, but the sensing of the higher light is definitely here, and being realistic about reaching, realistic about contacting and following this higher source. So be realistic about contacting and following the higher source. All right, we have a couple of more signs. And with Aquarius, it is you are aspiring for the welfare of all, not just yourself. Part of fulfilling the indications of your aspiration, all these other aspiration, is the realization of the importance of service. So, to indicate successful aspiration, then serve. You know, group consciousness, we're not there yet. There's still selfishness, of course, but let's just say the importance of the group. Let it come into your mind. And seek its welfare. And also seek the new. Because, you know, the life more abundant is indicated by Aquarius, and aspiration is the first step along the way towards the realization of that life more abundant. We're away from that. It's really a shambolic factor. But it is related to Aquarius. And just envision the wider, fuller life. Wider, fuller life of the soul. And that should be very stimulating. Now, when it comes to Pisces, I just want to say, you know, sacrifice the old. Relinquish all that had held your attention. Dissolve your attraction to the unreal. Now, this is going to continue as a demand because Pisces is ruling all pralayas. And, of course, you have to also be careful, avoid glamorous about the new direction to which aspiration leads. Because sometimes we say, oh, this is going to be a marvelous new world, and we're heading into it, and we begin to inflate and distort and exaggerate and all that. So let's just say, also, be humble and patient in your approach to the higher life. Pisces is so much about letting go and dropping what is no longer needed, and it leads towards self-effacement. So we kind of realize that this aspiration in which we are engaged is not about self-exaltation. So, okay. That aspiration is not for the purpose of self-exaltation. But is fundamentally about helping others. The little notion of the savior complex coming in, not in a bad way, you know. People can have it in a bad way too, which is just another form of egoism. I the savior, see. So you can have any one of these signs prominent in your chart or some kind of combination of them. You're in the struggle to turn the love of the soul towards the real and not towards the unreal. Not the outgoing soul consciousness is still aware sufficiently to manage the world, but to turn inward towards the reality. And so basically, Pisces is all about letting go. And so sacrifice the old, and I'll just put it in here, sort of let go of the old. It's reorientation. Requires sacrifice, renunciation. So it seems like it's the end of the way of egoism, the end of the way of egotism. It's the end, it sort of dissolves the sun, it dissolves the old Leo tendencies here. There are, you know, many dangers here, and one has to be clear about what is real. It's so easy with people, for people with strong water signs, for instance, or strong Neptune, to think that something is real spiritually when it's not. It's just an inflated, lovely idea which lacks co-measurement with reality. That's maybe where Aquarius comes in with its scientific attitude. I want to say up here, you know, be scientific about what is happening to you as you become an aspirant to higher things. Anyway, we have some beginning thoughts about what you do in a practical way when you are striving toward the fulfillment of the particular pedal. Now, I mean, maybe a lot of us have now already made our choice. Maybe we are beyond the stage of aspiration, which is so inconsistent. There are actually mentally focused people willfully directing ourselves forward in a spiritually realistic manner and not just subject to the currents which make us aspire and then fall back. Now, of course, all of these are interrelated, you know, from studying esoteric astrology. You know that there's an interrelation of all these planets, rays, signs of the zodiac. It's a matrix, really. So some of the same ideas may be repeated to a certain extent. Just putting in these colons, you know, because they will always be needed, and that's probably what I should have done to begin with. These planets, they are lesser gods, but they are certainly related to the greater gods called the lords of the constellations. And when it comes to the sun, you know, this is a sun petal. So just say in general, learn to shine with a higher light and aspire towards a higher identity. We are meant to become solar in our nature, and this is a Leo pedal, and we are meant to shift our attention to the higher self so that eventually at initiation it can become the sole luminary in the microcosmic sky. We are meant to do all that. So we have to establish ourselves as solar beings, and in terms of the moon, leave the moon behind. But know what it represents by analyzing one's or your lunar tendencies. The moon does fall in Scorpio, which is another one of those signs strongly connected with this petal number 5. We're leaving behind the 4 lunar petals, starting on the 5 semi-solar and solar petals. And the moon is no longer our object of interest. So strive to help the moon fall away from significance in your life. Okay. When it comes to the spiritual will, we have Vulcan spiritual will. So apply not only aspiration, but the spiritual will to bring the higher of the pairs of opposites into prominence, and then bring through the soul indications right onto the physical plane with which Vulcan has such a connection. So also, let's just say, leave instability behind and forge bonds between the personality and the higher self. Vulcan is always the one who can strengthen the bonds which maybe Mercury can make. Mercury is a lot like Gemini here, and let's just say use the first part of the Antikorana to communicate with the soul. And again, it's learn of the soul. Learn of life on the higher mental plane. And relate all things in your field of consciousness to the higher self, which you now sense. So don't let anything go unrelated to that higher self. Things are not simply what they are in their own right. They are to be related to the higher and unitive factor. And, you know, just in general, because sometimes people forget, I say, use the mind in relation to the higher self and its understanding. All right. Well, you know, there's so many things I've said about all these planets, and maybe, although it's not worth 1/100th as much as it is to collect what the Tibetan has said, I have maybe inadvertently scattered a lot of information through this discussion, and if it were brought together, it might be of some use. There will be repetition, of course, more so than when the Tibetan speaks, obviously. But I have not, for heuristic purposes, scattered these things. It's been simply more the manner in which they have been explained and pursued. Venus is the planet of the soul, so recognize the beauty of the higher self and its magnetism. And let's just say, begin to, so to speak, fall in love with the higher self. So, you know, when you're looking in the looking glass, that's Venus, you don't see the personality, you see the soul. So look into the soul's looking glass and see not the personality, but the soul. So this is a planet which is the magnifying glass, and let the soul be magnified in your life steadily and not so intermittently. Let that be the case. Because, you know, that's what makes an aspirant. Venus represents the higher self. Mars, in a way, represents the lower self. So we have to make kind of a Libran choice between Venus and Mars. So when Venus is strong, you know, let the light and love of the soul enter your unstable consciousness. The light and love of the soul enter your unstable consciousness. You know, I've done it again. I just don't understand why I do this. But I'm always leaving out Mars. And that is so, oh, you know, it's not at all my nature to do that. But There must be a reason for it. So the fastest thing to do is just to make sure that the personality is represented. Because that's what Mars is. It is the personality and, in a way, every vehicle within the personality. Okay, I think now I may have achieved my goal. Good. So, when it comes to, how do you say whether you have a strong Earth? Well, you know, is it like Sagittarius, for instance? If the esoteric ruler, or maybe Taurus, a special relation to the Earth, or eventually Gemini and so forth. Well, maybe you have a lot of Earth signs, let us say, and you're in this fifth petal, and so remember that the petal five is all about getting ready to really help the transformation of the Earth towards a sacred planet. Whoop. Sacred planet. Yeah, I mean, you know, it all has to be done practically, so always remember in your aspiration the field of service. Because Earth does represent the field of service, and whatever we may receive from higher sources, we have to learn to apply in the field of service. Now, what about good old Mars here? You know, well, I could just say aspire. It's a major planet of aspiration, or strive, as Master Mori says, fierily. And elevate and noble your desires, and do not express energy in pursuit of the low and that which should have been left behind. Right, and noble, would it be two ends? I don't know. Yep, looks like it. So all of these planets are useful. You know, there's a lot of struggle here. Remember, it is a Scorpio petal in some respects. If we consider it related to Sagittarius, Mars is the hierarchical ruler there. So a conflict enters, you know, and it's the conflict between the soul and personality. So put the weight of your fighting power on the side of the soul. All right. When it comes to Jupiter, I would just say, well, there's so much to say about Jupiter, but understand the big picture. into which reception of the energy streams from the soul gives you entree. So if we begin to follow, you know, DK talks in A Treatise on White Magic about these, trying to recognize these streams of inspiration that come from the soul. Sometimes it has a tough time getting through. And it always enlarges and expands. So expand your horizons through aspiration towards the source, which has a higher vantage point. Include the higher realms in all considerations. Because sometimes, you know, we can be very competent in the world, but we just say, oh, well, that's beyond the realm of belief, so we're not going to take it into consideration. Aspiration will give you a wider, higher, fuller life. And so with a prominent Jupiter, recognize those opportunities and go for that higher, wider, fuller life. Well, Saturn fits here because it is a planet which discriminates between the necessary and the unnecessary, and let's say do what must be done to move towards the higher source, even if what must be done is unpleasant for the personality. Well, just imagine Sanat Kumara standing at his post. DK has talked about even the masters have other areas of interest in this vast universe which might just attract them. And what about such a great being as Sanat Kumara? He would as well, would he not? So, with Saturn, realize that with the higher life towards which you strive, realize, that with the higher life towards which you strive comes responsibility. And there, to put it like this, there is no ascent without responsibility to those who have not yet ascended as far as you have. So rising compels a responsible attitude. So if I had a lot of Saturn at this point, I would really stabilize as much as I can my aspiration until it leads me to the point of discipleship, which at first it doesn't. I'm simply someone interested in these things. I'm now and then highly emotionally oriented towards them, and then it fades out, and there's no real stability in my approach. But let's just say, if I have strong Saturn, organize my life for the fulfillment of higher aspirations. And this is the practical approach. I guess we don't really like Saturn so much at various times because it seems to deny us the fulfillment of our wishes, you know, sort of Jupiter and Neptune, and Saturn sits on that fulfillment and says, not yet, do this first, fulfill this, that or the other. But I would say that when Saturn is strong in your chart, you have a real advantage because you can make your aspirations turn more real, more quickly than many people can. If you have a strong Uranus, just to say, you know, reverse your direction. The archetypes lie ahead, and the heavenly world is revealed by the heavenly one, and that's what Uranus is. So go the new and better way, and do not worry about what is being left behind. That's always a moon problem, you know, to be concerned about what you may be relinquishing, or a Cancerian problem. But Master Mori assures us that what lies ahead is always far, far better than what is left behind. So, you know, ever pushing on into the future is to guarantee that something ever better lies ahead, and that the present moment is better than the past one, and the future moment is better than the present one. Essentially so. Which doesn't mean there aren't cycles in which things rise and fall, but for the determined aspirant, determined disciple, moving into ever better circumstances is the norm, because we're closer and closer to reality. So let's just say at this point, remember our purpose to live according to the new, which comes with the divine plan. All right, well, Neptune is important here. The heart of the sun is ruled by Neptune. So we would say aspire towards high beauty, because, you know, Neptune is, again, a major planet of aspiration, rules the astral body, the solar plexus, for the disciple, and I suppose for the aspirant as well. Aspirant still making a transition between the ordinary rulers and the esoteric rulers. So, you know, reach for the sky, but keep your feet on the ground. That's the hard part with Neptune, not to float away into unreality. And let there be a new and higher form of love in your life. It won't be completely fulfilled for a while, you know, but already the really higher streams are coming through. So touch the intangible nature of the higher of the pairs of opposites. You know, try and really, really feel into this higher of the pairs of opposites. Really, of the pairs of opposites. Because it's not an abstraction. It's something real, and Neptune, So, you know, and basically begin to identify with the higher of these. Merge with it and realize that it is you. Now, that's not going to come immediately, but there is a struggle to do that. And I would just give some advice here, say, be realistic in your aspiration and know what is possible and what is not. Because we don't want to just float off into some state of higher idealism when we lose touch with our real progress in the real world. Well, it's an unreal world, but, you know, we have to call it the real world. Okay, now, with this Pluto in the fifth petal, cut the ties which bind you to the normal and thus the unreal. I'm saying that the normal, what we consider normal, is the unreal. Now, there's another way to look at it, so that it re-becomes the real. You know, the law of repulse may repulse the apparently unreal only to reclaim it from a higher perspective as that which is real. So let's just say, begin dying to glamour. And I would say illusion, but maybe not quite. We're not quite there yet. And dying to ahamkara, the false sense of separative selfhood. We're told by DK that Pluto never kills the consciousness. So in a sense, it's going to enhance the consciousness by removing the veils, the scales, all those things which prevent direct perception. So we're going to say penetrate into more direct perception of the higher of the pairs of opposites. Many more things can be said. I've said them throughout the book. So, but I think you have enough thoughts to get going here with petal number 5, where this great battle between the unreal and the real is going on, and we, the soul in incarnation, are striving to turn our attention to the real. We want to love the real rather than the unreal, so there's a reorientation of the desire nature, and sometimes this is just called the reversal of the wheel, step number one in that reversal process. So, friends, I think maybe the best thing I can do is say, this is the end of program 67, practical advice for using energies in petal 5, and 1 hour and 30 minutes. All right, so we will continue with petal 6. There will be, you know, what starts in petal 5 only gets stronger and more refined as we move into petal 6, 7, and 8, so there won't be like complete differences all the time, but ever wider scopes for application of what was begun in petal number 5, wider and deeper, and also specific directions determined by the astrological signs. So this will be, we'll go on to beginning of program 68, and we'll call it, we'll call it something close. We'll call it practical advice with using of energies in petal number 6, and we don't know yet how big it will be, but probably, you know, in the neighborhood of an hour and a half or two, something like that. As we go on in the higher petals, there may be more to say because perhaps more people are working as probationary disciples and as initiates of the first degree. This is just the early stages of aspiration here at the end of petal number 5 when we decide that the way of the personality is not the only way to go. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.